Hello and welcome to Super Boothers. My name is Ryan.
And I'm Ismail. And we are recording live from PBX in Las Vegas. And we have two guests with us today. We're very thankful to have Michael and Chris Bowie. Michael and Chris, welcome.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello.
He makes fun of me for doing that. Don't take it personally.
So every time I call Ismail, there's one or two Ismails that I get. I get the hello, which means like, what do you want? I'm tired. I'm over life. I've been in an airport every single day.
That's most of the time.
Whatever. It's most of the time for me. You've done it for like a week.
But what's the other one?
Yo.
I've heard
whenever
that
he does that, whenever he does that, it means like he's in a good mood. He's had his coffee from Dunkin'.
I want some money, you know. That was day one.
You won money?
That was day one. We're on day four. So you didn't win. I'm down.
Hello? So anyways, and that's another thing that, so whenever, I spend a lot of time with Ismail, and whenever we're together, you kind of pick up like his little like, I don't know, like, what is it, like idiosyncrasies or like his little catchphrases? I have catchphrases. And what's really funny is with like everyone that's been coming up to us, it's almost like a caricature of us. Yeah. Like, I think it was Mike Anderson came up, and he did a very, like, spot-on impression of me. But Ismail, his big thing right now is, stop talking.
No, what is it?
Stop playing.
That's the Brooklyn
so
in
if,
me.
Like, if you,
so you know what I'm talking about. Stop playing.
If you tell him something, and it's, like, absolutely... Like, there was a woman that yesterday, she came up, and she was like, I love your CRM. Someone told me that it was, like, incredibly professional. He's like, stop playing.
I'm like, yo, Ryan, you got to hear this.
Yeah.
So that's the New York in me. But I'm excited to discuss some stuff with the two guests today because the backstory here is that I met Michael in person at our California event, and he was telling me about how him and his brother are doing so well and they're living the dream. And what really stood out to me, and as you guys know, I run the business with my brother, so I really connected with him instantly. What stood out to me is that they're living the dream that everyone wants to do, where they actually walked away from a nice paying job to focus on this business. And I really wanted to dig into that because I know a lot of people listening dream of that and they don't know if it's the right time or like, is it really a gutsy decision or do you wait till everything's safe? So I think it'd be cool to hear your guys' perspective on how that happened.
Wait, you buried the lead. So you had a job watching TV.
Yeah, I had a job watching TV.
Can we say who it was for?
DirecTV.
So let me get this straight. So DirecTV paid you money.
A lot of money.
Like, how much money? How many zeros?
I was making $100,000 a year.
Watching TV.
I technically do the same thing. I'm just not paid by Netflix.
But you don't get paid to do it.
Well, my official title was a software QA analyst. So I was in charge of pretty much making sure the DirecTV software is up to par. And I would just have to write up issues whenever I saw them. And that was pretty much my job.
Like, Ellen wasn't funny today?
Like, if the volume button wasn't working or the channel button wasn't working.
So, literally, you're like a professional couch potato just pushing the buttons.
Yes. But I had to have the skill set of describing it to programmers to fix it. That was the technical side of it.
So, you know what's crazy to me is that a lot of people dream and fantasize about quitting and focusing on the business full time, and they don't have as easy
like
a job. They don't have as easy of a job, right? So you had a really easy,
very easy,
high paying job. Mm-hmm. I'm sure all your family and friends thought you were crazy for doing it. And
oh,
can
absolutely.
You tell us a little bit about the pressure or the social, how people viewed you for doing that?
So my parents did think I was
they kicked you out of the house?
A little bit crazy. I mean, I was already living on my own, but I did set it up for myself. Like, I had the job for 3 years, and the job paid so much that I was able to save a lot of money, and I had the end goal of being on my own and starting my own business. So I saved up a ton of money so that when I did venture off, it wouldn't be such a hard decision or hard move on me.
So you built up some cushion.
Yeah.
And I think, if I remember correctly, Michael told me in California, what made you guys think there was potential to make a lot of money in this industry? I think you said you saw something from other people, or you were looking at the competition?
Yes, I was looking at the competition, and most of them are weekend warriors, right? They have their main job, and their only focus was to work on the weekends. We noticed that there was corporate events that happened during the week, and those are where the money's at. We were able to capture a lot of of corporate leads where we were making more on those hours than we worked like for the whole month of weddings. Also, another thing is the quality level. A lot of the time, these weekend warriors aren't really paying attention to the quality. And that's what we were looking at.
And I think I remember, also remember you mentioning the websites. Like, just by looking at their websites, you could tell that they're not very sophisticated operators and that you could probably look a lot better than them.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the first thing that clients look at is your website and then your photos. So if your website's not up to par to your photos, they'll never see your photos.
So it's a major, it's like a first contact. It's a major differentiator between you and your competition. But then before we dig in more to some of the stuff that you just mentioned, I know that you guys were having a lot of success with Facebook ads. So that's something that I was really talking to Michael a lot about in California. And that's something a lot of people want to play with, but people are afraid of wasting and losing money. So is there anything you guys can tell from your experience on any advice or best practices or what you learned from Facebook?
Well, one thing is when you start an ad on Facebook, don't buy it right away. They'll give you a coupon for $100 within the week. So wait for that. And then
you sound like my grandmother going to JCPenney's. No, Ryan, don't do it. It's going to go on sale later.
Yeah, so with that $100, that gives you a lot of exposure on Facebook because the ads are quite cheap. They're in the dollars or the cents. So with that, you...
Is that based off of, like, the search term or, like, what makes it cheap?
So what makes it cheap is, of course, your demographic that you're choosing. You get to choose the age range, location, and you funnel the criteria.
So when you do that, doesn't the price get higher because you're targeting such a small group, or does it get actually cheaper?
You know, I didn't really see, I didn't really play with it that much because we saw that the price was way cheaper than our other advertising, so we jumped on it right away.
Yeah, way cheaper.
Yeah.
And you guys are seeing that to be a profitable source of leads, not just getting leads and not really booking them. You're actually booking them.
Yes.
Right.
So what is the average time of, like, whenever they come in as a lead until you book them? How long does it take for you to convert them?
It took me about, I would say, three weeks.
To convert a lead into giving you money?
Well, a lot of their events are probably later on. Right.
Yeah. Right. So we were choosing a criteria that had newly engaged, where it
sure.
Would be
so they
year.
Like a guy, got it. So they haven't made their okay. Okay. Continue.
And what do you guys put on those ads that you see work very well? Like, is it just an image ad? Is it a slideshow? Is it a video? And Ryan's you're distracting our guests.
So this is what I do to think. So whenever, like, we record, like, I doodle, or, like, right now I'm, like, being really OCD and organizing the confetti.
He's organizing the confetti
and he,
on
like,
the table
and he, like,
by color.
And he, like, sneezed and blew my confetti everywhere. But anyways, continue.
We're trying to work here, Ryan. So, yeah, I know there's a lot of different kind of ads where you can put a picture, you can do a slideshow, you can do a video. So is there any, like, high-level things that you've seen work that people can kind of start playing around with?
We actually didn't know what... to use as our advertisement, so we had a few images that we thought looked great, and we just posted a bunch of them. So we had, I think, three different images. We had a photo of our setup, one of our stage backdrops, another one of just
our favorite photo.
Do you realize like how many people don't have a picture of what the damn thing looks like? Like, that's the thing, is like whenever like people like. So whenever you're doing, like, market competition or, like, research and seeing whatever what else is available, that's the first thing that people don't do, is they don't put what their photo booth actually looks like. Yeah. I think that alone will get you business.
And then the second photo we used was of just our guests to see, like, the quality of our images. And then the last one we used, we didn't even think that it would do that well, but it's actually just a picture of us holding two photo strips. And
that's gonna be
killing that was the one that got the most leads.
Really?
But was that an image on its own, or it's the third image on the carousel?
Well, when we first did Facebook ads, we had the way that Facebook does it, you can have three separate ads with three different images.
Like
A/B testing.
And then we just noticed that the one just of the two photo strips did the best.
That's so interesting because. Yeah. What ends up doing really well on social media is the more authentic, like, less quality images. So you start to see these ads now popping up in your Facebook feed. It just seems like it's just taken on someone's regular camera phone with not great quality. But people think it's a real picture of their friends.
That's how Instagram kind of got, like, it's like, I guess popularity is because people want to see like the behind the scenes of what makes your product, not the finished product itself. Like they want to like see like what humanizes it and what like I guess fleshes out the brand a little more.
And I know, just a little segue, I know Michael, you said you handle more of the corporate clients. That was actually, I mean, it's one of the most common questions we get. I know it's probably not an easy answer. Even when we got off stage at our talk, someone approached us and said, how do you get corporate clients? And Ryan made a joke, of course.
You go to the corporate client store.
Yeah, you just go to the store.
Yeah, you have a credit card, you give an Amex.
And I think I told her the harsh reality is that it's just not that easy. And it's not supposed to be easy because that's the highest reward, right? So what's your perspective? Like, what would you tell people that are asking, how do you get corporate clients? What do I have to do?
Right, so I think a lot of people are comfortable in their own zone where they want to email or call people. Really, it's in getting personal relationships with networking. You have to go to these events where the corporate clients that you want to target are there. For example, there's networking events that might have your local yogurt land or something. You want to be able to get in touch with those and show them what you're capable of. Because they get tons of emails every day and they're probably skipping it over or deleting them. Talking to them in person, it's really hard to shoo someone away unless you're really annoying them.
So you actually spend a lot of your time going to these?
Yes, we don't do a lot of them. We just choose our, we're really picky on the events, but when we do network.
So what makes a good event worth you going to?
Well, it can't be such a big event where it's an expo style where there's just booths and you walk booth to booth, because then they're just hearing the same things over and over. You have to go to one that's more like
it's more intimate,
like
more
a meetup where they're just there to have beer or something. And then when they have beer, like they're already loose, and then you're talking to them, showing them your product.
Lovely. So, get them a little drunk.
I know a lot of people.
That's what I did with Ismail. No. That's why Super Boothers exists.
No, false. Lies, fake news. One thing people always say is that they're not really social, and they don't feel like they're cut out for that stuff. So when you go to these events that you've selected, are you pitching and selling the whole time? How do you handle yourself there? What do you do?
So for me, I personally like to be friends with these people. I believe in surrounding yourself with people that are like-minded or that bring you up. You don't want to hang around lazy friends because they'll bring you down.
Mm-hmm,
so if you hang out with people that are successful, so basically I'm trying to be their friend.
I'm still looking
first.
For them because it ain't at this table.
Yeah.
No. Oh my God. There's two guests at this table
know. So this is the thing is I actually read an article about, I don't know what guy this is, but it's, there's like those little life coach people on YouTube and you're like, you're really bored and you watch those people that are like falling or getting in like car accidents or just because it's funny. I was getting into a YouTube black hole one day and I saw this video and this guy made a comment. He goes, there are people in your life that are battery chargers or battery drainers.
I like that word.
Yeah. Oh, actually, someone made another comment to me yesterday and they said, no,
here we go,
stand by. Does this person or does this business complicate or compliment my business?
I like the first one better, the battery.
Whatever.
It's visual. It's visual. Yeah. So you're saying you go to these events and just act as a friend. So when you're approaching people or they're approaching you, you're not immediately pitching your business.
No, you don't want to do that because
it turns them off.
It does.
So you just kind of say, hey, like, don't they ask you what you're there for?
No, I mean, sometimes, it's like an outing, an escape to go drink or something or have fun. And sometimes you want to go choose the events that either are around your age range so you don't feel out of place.
Interesting. Yeah. Would you say growing up, and I guess you're the younger brother?
Yes.
So maybe you both can chime in. Were you always a
social person? You're the prettier sister.
Social person? Or no?
I'm really shy.
Me too.
Like I'm actually having shakes right now while we're talking.
The shakes?
I felt something. I didn't know what it was. No.
We're introverts for sure.
So
that's
how,
great though. Because a lot of people feel that way.
If you're introverted, how are you going to networking events? Because networking events generally introverted people don't go to.
They avoid it.
Well, the alcohol.
But what if you don't drink? Drain.
Yeah.
Social events drain me, so I have to like build myself up to a social event. And then I only have a certain amount of energy for social media.
I have a Xanax right here.
No, hold on. No, but I relate to that. And I know a lot of people would relate to that because you can do it, but it's very draining. And you have to recharge your batteries.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you guys still find a way to do it, though. So I think that's an important thing for people to pick up on is even if you're introverted, you can still find a way to go to these events and grow your business. I guess is what you guys are saying.
Exactly.
I've been to two events where I haven't talked to anybody, and those are the ones I feel bad because I didn't try. When I was there, I got into the door, and I walked out.
So how did you get from that to killing it like you guys are now?
Just do it.
Just
okay, Nike. Yeah. Do you think that it's easier to like slide into DMs on like Instagram to start a conversation with someone than it is in person?
That just sounds dirty.
No, like it's an expression. Calm it down.
You know, like if there's someone that's liking your photo and they already took the first step to like a photo, and uh-huh. you can message them because mm-hmm. that happened to us on Instagram, that's a lot easier. But if it's at an event and I see someone that I want to network with, I'll just go and try to network with them.
And say, hi, my name is?
Yeah.
Or do you, like, go up to them and, like, accidentally spill a drink on them? I've done that before.
No, I haven't tried that
yet.
You know what? Never mind.
So,
that's a different podcast.
What are you guys taking away so far? Is this your first expo?
Oh, no, this is our third.
Your third? 3 years in a row. So I'm curious what you've seen change and what you took away this year.
I've seen a lot more of different photo booth designs coming out. A lot of
attendees. There's a lot. Yeah. It tripled. I mean, three times.
It's a lot larger.
Yeah.
For sure.
Is that concerning to you guys?
No, not really.
It's kind of our philosophy. Like we're free. We feel like we're open to sharing information because if someone tries to replicate what we're trying to do, they might not do it the same way. So you can have the same exact booth as us.
Yeah.
The problem won't be the
same. I will say this: you have really good branding. Like you really take good care of. I remember you posted a thing about like you were like vinyl wrapping screen wrapping the van, like that. Like details like that really do matter. Like I mean, whenever someone has like a photo booth that's delivered, you know, in a nice presented van. I mean, I just think that it adds, like, a little bit more value.
That was something that, actually, we talked about on stage with Sydney from Yoda Booth and Brian Miller from LA Photo Party. They were saying the same thing, like, we all have the same equipment, but we all do it in our own way. So there's room for everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you're taking away from this year? Other than the designs?
We see that there's a lot of iPad photo booths out there, so we see that there might be a huge influx of newbies in the market. You know, that might scare us at first, but honestly, like, it takes a lot to market them and make them stand out.
And we've already built up our personal connections, so so it doesn't, we don't feel threatened by that at all.
Is the majority of your business in dollars coming from corporate clients, or is it from the social events?
It's definitely the corporate clients.
Yeah. The huge
interesting.
Huge chunk of it.
What's been, like, your most favorite activation that you've done?
We work with Ubisoft, which is a company that makes Assassin's Creed and Far Cry.
Gamers.
I don't know what that means.
They're a big video game company.
We did a private photo booth event with press where we had fake cocaine on tables and...
What game was that for?
I'm interested. Let's talk more about this.
What game was that for?
That was for
Remember!
Is it Bad...
Badlands, Ghost Recon,
Ghost
Wildlands.
Yeah.
Ghost Recon Wildlands.
They had like the fake.
I'm sure they made for some great photos.
It was great photos. Like they were high, like press from like New York Times, like
they
making
high.
Lines and stuff.
That's cool. I guess. So I guess just to kind of wrap this up, I'm curious because everyone wants to be in your guys' position. You know, and I'm also envious that it's two brothers succeeding. I think that's really cool. What advice would you give people generally that you've seen work well for you and get you guys successful? What would you tell people listening to the show?
Delegate tasks. You know, there's a lot of things that people think are important but aren't really important. You got to put the things important first and then handle all the little things at the end. A lot of times people get caught up on things that I think, like the website. You got to make that first.
So I have an interesting thing because I have always been told you don't work with animals and you don't work with family. I think it would be very hard for me to work with my family. And I don't know why that is. My mother, she was like, there was one event, I don't know. She was like, do you want me to help you? I was like, nope, I'd kill you. Like, that's just not going to happen. How is it with the dynamic of working with your brother? Do you have like set things that are, and that the same thing goes with, you know, a husband and wife team or a wife and wife team or a husband and husband team or whatever you got going on these days. But how is it, do you guys split things like this is your job and this is your job, or do you like are you both just all over the place, or how does it work?
They're always blending. I mean, I like to, if my brother is not doing something, I'll take care of her, or if I'm not doing something, he'll take care of it. So when we're in conversations, it's always like we're backing each other up.
How far apart are you?
I'm 33.
And I'm 28.
It's 5 years. I'm 4 years with my brother.
I'm not Asian. I don't do math. What was yours again?
I'm 4 years apart with my brother.
4 years. Yeah. Okay.
So it's kind of similar.
Well, see, my brother is 18 years younger than me. So, like,
that's
that
different.
Just... No, it's crazy different.
You know what? I know I have a lot of friends and family that I've seen family business tear the family apart. So I always thought about that hard before I did anything. But I think if you know who you're working with, like, if you know your brother well enough, you can tell if this is something that you can work on a business with or not. Like, I have a friend. He's like, I would never do anything with my brother. Like, you know him better than anybody. So yeah. I think there's a kind of an understanding that you have to have before you jump into stuff with people. Like, he knows, Brian knows he'll kill his mom. So he doesn't work with his mom. But it can definitely work. It can work.
Definitely. I see myself learning more about my brother because I'm with him in the office every day. So I can figure out him a little bit more. Before, I've only seen him at family events. So
really?
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
We live separately. I live in Long Beach.
And I live in a bubble called Orange County. So.
But you know what's really true about that is I actually found the same thing. The business brings you closer together because you have to talk all the time. You're always together.
Yeah. And the most important thing is communication. We're always working on that. So you have to communicate and be able to express your thoughts and ideas effectively. In order to make it work.
And not take it personal.
Yeah.
But do you ever get, like, frustrated with one another?
Absolutely.
Oh,
there was
the
time where...
Guys, hold on. Okay, that was just a little hypothetical. But, like, so this is... I have been in a business with my partner, and that was difficult because you're together all day, you're together when you go home, and it's very draining, and it's very hard to have, like, a little bit of...
You're a difficult person to be with. I mean...
Podcast over. We're done.
You're high energy, though, right? So, just honestly, you're high energy. It's harder to find people that are compatible with you. These guys are more, like, mellow. It's easier to get along with.
It's because of the California weed. I mean, it'll just do that to you.
So, but yeah, no, I definitely appreciate you guys coming on here. I think a lot of people want to be in the position that you guys are on, and it's really cool to see two brothers, you know, succeeding. I hope to see you guys doing even better.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for joining us this week. We hope you had an amazing time at Photo Booth Expo. We have a couple more episodes for you. In the meantime, please join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/superboothers. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you next week.